digital agency owners, web designers, content enthusiasts, fellow copywriters, and my mum. You are very welcome to this episode of the Content Goodies podcast, sponsored by The Content Lab, with me, your host, Abby Wood. Let's talk content. Today we are joined by the lovely Kira Maher again. Lovely to see you, Kira. How are you doing?
Hello, lovely to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to our chat.
So we'll start off with a nice easy question, I think.
Yeah.
Who should you prioritize more, readers or search engines?
Well, the answer is simple. Readers, because they're the ones that are really reading your stuff and who will actually take action on your website. Google's not going to be picking up the phone, asking about your services or buying your things that you sell. It's going to be real people, real humans who you want to connect with. So, you know, very kind of easy and fast answer. You're going to want to prioritize humans, and Google itself tells you to do this. You know, they came out with a couple of different kind of algorithm updates over the years. There was Penguin and Panda, they were a few years ago now, and they were mainly to kind of tackle, you know, content farms and really spammy kind of websites that we would have seen, you know, in the kind of 2000s. And now their biggest update was in March 2024, and it's called Google's Helpful Content Update. So it's all about making content genuinely helpful for real humans. And, you know, I think Google's algorithms have gotten very smart, and, you know, they can easily detect when a piece of content is low quality, when it's not really providing any value. It's spammy. It's, you know, it could be stuffed with keywords and just, you know, clearly written to prioritize search engines and not real people. So, you know, they're all about kind of putting humans first and, you know, delivering the best possible experience for their users, or else, you know, why would anybody use Google if it wasn't actually helpful? You know, mm-hmm. if people are reading kind of, you know, regurgitated garbage or really poorly written content, they're not going to stick around. You know, they're not going to enjoy their experience. So
exactly. And at the end of the day, Google is a business, and Google wants people using its search engine and getting money for paid ads and the such like and traffic. So if the results it's giving its readers are rubbish, then they're going to lose people to other search engines, because there are other search engines on the market. So there is a little bit of competition, but I think that's an interesting point as well. So many SEOers tend to get very hung up on, oh, I just need to churn out hundreds and hundreds of pages of content, and it doesn't really matter what's in that content. Mm-hmm. I'm just updating, I'm putting in keywords, you know, and Google will eventually promote me mm-hmm. as the go-to mm-hmm. place for information. But I was reading a very interesting and quite entertaining thread on Reddit this morning in the SEO forum, mm-hmm. or the SEO Reddit thing. I'm so tech savvy, guys. And it was basically just somebody who had done that and was like, oh, since March, I've lost all my traffic. And, you know, it's like, but are you editing this mm-hmm. content that you're churning out? Is it actually helpful? Mm-hmm. And although I am a big fan of naming things after animals like Penguin and Panda, I love the fact that it's the helpful content update.
Yeah.
It does what it says, basically. So if your content isn't genuinely helpful, mm-hmm. educational, insightful, entertaining, then mm-hmm. you're not going to get that readership, and mm-hmm. they are going to bounce pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So very, very good points, as always.
well, thank you.
what do search engines and what do humans want from content in we're filming this in 2025, mm-hmm. so what does it look like this year? What do both want?
Okay, so let's start with search engines. So, you know, obviously they want your content to be easy to read, relevant, accurate, have accurate information, and they don't want misinformation. They want it to be keyword aligned content. So, you know, Google wants you to help them figure out what your page is about so that they know they're serving up the right pages to the right people searching for particular topics. So that's where the kind of keywords come into play. having kind of a good structure to your page. So making sure that you have your H1s, that's heading one, H1s, H2s, H3s, H4s, so that there's a clear kind of hierarchy to your content so that Google can see, you know, this is the main subject of the page and this is the other kind of types of things that they're talking about. Also having your kind of back end data, you know, in good shape. So that's your meta titles and descriptions. So that's, you know, the stuff that happens kind of in the back end of your website. And it's what users see when they search for something, and it's the search results basically that they see. So making sure that that's really, you know, engaging, and also, again, includes the right keywords. So Google knows this is what the page is about. Also, you know, on the technical side of things, which, you know, it's not really as much to do with content, but it's important to know as well, having your website have a good kind of user experience. It's mobile friendly, it's easy to navigate, you know, it loads fast. They're kind of the basics. And then for humans, so what do humans want from their content? They want clear answers to their questions. They want the content to be easy to read, engaging, and genuinely helpful, and not full of kind of just filler content that's not really getting to the point or solving a problem or answering their question, and really content that, you know, ultimately solves a problem for them. So, you know, when people are searching online, they're usually are searching, you know, to solve a problem. So they have questions, whether it's about your services. It could be, you know, how do I fix a tire in my car? You know, it could be something as simple as that. And they're looking for answers. So really what they want is those answers delivered in a kind of, you know, engaging, easy to digest way. And yeah, just kind of a clear journey as well through your website. So I know that's, again, that's more kind of design focused, but content does help with the journey too. So, you know, through your content guiding people like down the page to take a certain action or a certain pathway through your website. Even, you know, through your blog, you know, having it really clear what the blog is about, having it a good hierarchy there too, so that people can scan if they need to. A lot of people do scan. It's kind of a scannable generation or a scanning generation. Everybody is kind of short on time and they want things fast. So again, that's where structure comes in. And you'll see a lot of overlap between the two. You know, search engines kind of want the same things that humans want, and the two really kind of play off each other. I mean, the longer people stay on your website or your blog and read your content, and the more they engage with it, that's going to signal to Google that the content is relevant, valuable, you know, engaging, and that in turn will help with your organic traffic. So, you know, by prioritizing humans, you're also prioritizing search engines really as well at the same time.
Absolutely. So there is a lovely term that I have that is being written about quite a lot at the moment online, and that's the enshittification of online content. I know, it's beautiful, isn't it? So yeah, swear word incoming. I probably should have given a little bit of a warning. But I think it's Australian coined, and I personally love the Aussies, and their beautiful way with the English language. So it's basically, and this goes back to kind of the quality side of things that we're chatting about, that really helps rank and convert at the same time. So, you know, the enshittification of the internet is basically all of this AI generated content that isn't edited, that isn't doesn't add anything new to a conversation. It doesn't you know, it doesn't share unique stories. It doesn't share unique histories. It's it's pretty much just, okay, wonderful ChatGPT, pump out a 4,000 word blog on how to change a tire, and it will. And then they just, you know, post hundreds and hundreds of blog posts around these topics. And then, you know, people's attention is shorter than ever because we're just constantly bombarded with content, whether it's social, email, everything. So I think it's a very pertinent topic for this year and ongoing. As more people use AI, it's going to be more and more difficult to stand out because there's so much content out there. So for me, I'm very much encouraging our clients and their clients to really lean into their unique brand voice and their uniqueness and to add their own opinions on stuff. I mean, everyone that knows me knows I'm not a fan of AI content writing anyway, but if you are using it, for our wonderful listeners out there, make sure that you are putting your own spin on things. How would you recommend our lovely listeners to really infuse their own brand voice into their content to help it stand out more.
Okay, well, I suppose the first step there is figure out what your brand voice actually is. So a lot of our clients struggle with this, and you know, we have a really great package where we kind of go through their entire company and their clients to come up with a brand messaging foundation where we basically define how they should sound and what type of language to use. And it's very much based on the kind of the vibe that we're getting from them and their company and the kind of people that they work with, and figuring out what would actually appeal to them the most and what's most authentic to that brand. And a lot of it comes down to like your team, I think. I think a lot of it comes down to how your team interact with customers, the type of language they use. You know, are they formal and wearing suits, or are they wearing a t-shirt and flip-flops and kind of shooting the breeze at clients? And do they inject humor? You know, do they take the time to really explain things in great detail? Or, you know, are they more kind of high level and strategic and fast-paced? Like, you're really kind of, I think some of it's quite intuitive, like you're kind of just trying to get a vibe from them. And then, you know, some of it's like, okay, what will actually work for your audience? And brand voice really, it varies hugely, but it's one of the biggest things you can use to stand out. You know, especially when so many kind of AI generated websites have the same kind of robotic voice. That,
do you want to unleash your superpower?
Yes. Would you like to take your business to new heights?
You know, elevate your online presence.
Elevate your online presence. Yeah, we see it all the time. And I think if you're not a writer and if you're not really, you know, seeing this stuff day in, day out, you do become a bit AI blind. You don't really see the words that are being overused. But because we're in this industry, we see them being overused all the time across every sort of sector. And it's, you know, it's just all very samey and very robotic. And I think humans are becoming, you know, the average website user is becoming a lot more in tune with what's AI and what's not. And I think that even comes down to content. It might sound fancy and great now, but when your audience are looking at five websites that are all saying the same fancy words, you know, in the same kind of phrasing and the same sort of sentence structures, they're going to sniff it out, and they're going to get a sense of, you know, this brand doesn't know who they are and they're not authentic. And I just think authenticity sells, you know, and just being yourself really kind of makes a big difference. So to kind of, you know, bring that into your content, it's really about kind of figuring out what kind of language you use in your company already. Like, how do people talk? How do your customers talk to you? What kind of words and phrases do they use when they're describing, you know, their problems that they're having? Use their language, you know, speak to them on their level, and figure out, are you a fun company? Are you a compassionate company? Are you super, you know, bold and kind of out there and eclectic? Like figuring out your personality is kind of a really good foundation of figuring out how you should sound, because personality and voice go hand in hand together, you know.
Absolutely. And I think for some of the agencies that we worked with before and their clients, sometimes they're a little bit afraid of really leaning into who they are as a company, because they don't want to turn off visitors and be like, oh no, you know, kind of you're not, you know, kind of you're a little bit too informal, or, you know, kind of you're very straight laced. But I think I always say your website is your salesperson 24/7, obviously, but your website is the first primer for working with you. So if you have kind of very, yeah, I'm going to say AI generated text that doesn't really say who you are as a company and what to expect when working with you, then if somebody is expecting a very straight laced, very formal, very professional service, and you turn up and you're swearing like a sailor on the sales call, they're going to be like, oh, wait a second, this isn't what I bought into. This, you know, there's a disconnect there. So your website is designed to attract the people that you're meant to serve. So, you know, for us, if you go onto our website and hopefully all of our clients' websites as well, you get a good feeling for how they will work with you going forward. And that's a good way of filtering out bad fit clients as well. So although, you know, our website, our online presence is designed to attract more leads, more prospects, whatever, to the company, it's also designed to filter out bad fits. So we're actively avoiding people that, you know, kind of aren't going to gel well with us, that aren't going to respect the work that we do, you know, kind of that won't have the budget to work with us, whatever, is your own personal red flag for a lead. But I think, yeah, lean into who you are. Absolutely. And I think that is a key part of standing out right now and going forward, because it's going to be so quick and easy to set up a website that says absolutely nothing about you as a company, that, you know, there's going to be more competition than ever, but in order to stand out, be yourself.
Yeah, 100%. And I think as well, getting to know your audience really, really well will help with that, because then you can figure out who are we really trying to attract and speak to, and what will resonate with them the most, and what kind of problems are they having? How can we be relatable to them? Because a lot of the AI kind of generated content is very generic, even when it comes down to the kind of problems, you know, audiences are having. They kind of just make assumptions about people. They use the same kind of generic examples for everything. So really, like, getting to know your audience, you know, even surveying previous clients and, you know, doing a good bit of research to figure out what do they want to read about? What, like, how will they feel most connected to you? What's the kind of language they're using? Like, if you're, you know, a doctor, even if you're kind of, say, more laid back or whatever, and you have a website, but you want to get referrals and you know that your audience prefers formal kind of professional speak because it gives off more, you know, of a credible kind of appearance to them, then take that into consideration. Maybe you do need to have a little bit more of a professional edge, even if as a person you're very, very kind of laid back. And then there's spaces on your digital platform where you can be more yourself, like your LinkedIn profile, your personal pages, you know, you can, or you can even have like a personal brand website as well, if you really want to lean into those things. But definitely just keep in mind what, you know, your audience would prefer.
Absolutely. I think this leads back to, our websites aren't about us, they're about our readers. Absolutely. So, you know, we see a lot of agencies with websites that have we-itis. So it's, we build websites, we do this, we do that. But the reader doesn't care. You know, there's the old, you know, kind of the old phrase of, you know, the buyer doesn't care about the drill bit, they care about the hole that it's going to create for them. Yeah. And it's true, you know, kind of, if you can really hone in, whether you do user personas or you just sit down with pen and paper and write out everything that you love about your most favorite client in the world, and then think, what do they need to read on my website to become a client, so that you can attract more of those types of clients. And I know that kind of, we're obviously a big fan of niching here and choosing a certain industry to work with, but it doesn't have to be down to a very specific niche. It could be a type of person. It could be a type of business owner. It could be, you know, mission-driven people. It could be anything and everything that you enjoy working with. But we're not meant to serve everyone.
No, sorry, Bob. Yeah. And I think, like, you know, the more that you can kind of hone in on who you actually want to work with, the better time you're going to have in the line of work that you do, because you're going to be attracting people who you enjoy working with, you know, who kind of match your sort of vibe and your energy and stuff like that. Another thing that kind of popped into my head there was about story branding and, you know, the story brand framework. If you haven't heard of it, definitely look it up. There's a lot of free resources about it online.
We'll pop in the podcast notes, yes, a link to StoryBrand and Donald Miller.
It's a fantastic framework that really kind of helps you lay out your pages in a certain way that you can kind of bring the audience on a journey from, like, okay, it's basically taking them from the land of sad to the land of happy. So, you know, really honing in on what their issues are and what's kind of keeping them up at night, and kind of, you know, you're positioning them as the hero, you as the guide. So rather than, we do this, we're great at this, it's kind of, you know, what are you going through? You want this and you desire that and you're having issues with this, and we're your guide, and we're going to bring you from all these problems you're having to the solution that we're offering, you know, that so your services and the kind of experience you provide, all the way to kind of this journey of like, you're going to end up like this, you're going to end up happy, you're going to end up, you know, these are the end results that we can provide for you. And that's really, I think, a great framework to follow if you really want to learn how to speak for humans and speak for your audience, as opposed to prioritizing for SEO. But the structure and the structure advice that they provide is really good for SEO as well. So kind of works both ways. And I think when it comes to SEO too, like it can be tricky to kind of find the balance of integrating keywords into content, you know, while letting it kind of flow naturally. And I think it definitely takes practice. So don't expect to be kind of a pro at it the first few times you do it. It definitely takes practice. And I just think if you're ever kind of unsure, always bring it back to like, you know, would I enjoy reading this? Does this feel enjoyable to read? Am I interested in it? Is it engaging me? And like, personally, after I do my kind of keyword research and I have my layout of the page and I kind of know what keywords I'm targeting in my head, because they're kind of in my head, I let myself just kind of write naturally, almost like a brain dump. Like, just let yourself write whatever comes into your head, kind of, you know, look at each section and go, okay, what needs to go in the section? I'm just going to let it kind of flow, or even just bullet points, whatever feels right for you. And then go back in your second and third draft of editing, refining, and figuring out, you know, how many keywords did I get in there naturally and what do I need to add in? And you'll find a lot of times, because the keywords are in your head and because that page is so relevant to those keywords, you end up adding them in anyway.
Yeah.
But it's definitely important to have a knowledge of where to kind of add keywords for the best SEO juice and SEO value, and figure out where Google wants you to add keywords in. So without getting too hung up on it, definitely have them, you know, in your H1s, H2s, H3s. Definitely have it sprinkled throughout your body content, but especially within the first 100 words. And, you know, make sure that you're using kind of variations of the keywords, so that it's not sounding repetitive and keyword stuffy. So, you know, you might have like a basic keyword of like web development, but, you know, there's variations to that. So like web development services, you know, web development strategies, web development specialists, web development experts. So it's kind of the same pillar, but you're kind of using variations so that it's not sounding super repetitive. And I think that can help mix things up a little bit as well. And yeah, definitely just don't, I wouldn't get too hung up on like keyword density too much. You know, I think that can really overwhelm you, especially if you're just, you know, if you're just starting out, or, you know, you're kind of fairly new to this, it can be really overwhelming to go, okay, this page has 600 words, so that means I need this keyword to get in there 200 times. And remember that you're really trying to create an engaging reading experience, and engagement figures going up will help your organic traffic increase. So, you know, that's why, again, we're prioritizing the reader. It needs to sound good. Yes, the keywords need to be in there, but it's not the be all and end all. It's definitely, you know, it's more important that you're engaging the reader, that you're sounding like you, that you're delivering real solutions to their problems and answering their questions properly. And yeah, AI is never going to do that for you. You definitely need the human touch.
How do you feel about AI for SEO-friendly content writing?
Yeah, like, I think AI is a tool. It's not a replacement for actual humans doing quality work. And, you know, it can definitely speed up certain things. But one thing I will say and say clearly, do not use AI for SEO research. Do not use it for an SEO strategy. You know, it doesn't have access to search volume. It doesn't have access to, you know, any sort of analytics tools and stuff like that. So it's not going to be able to tell you what keywords to use in your blogs or your website copy. You have to do that manually. And I think, yeah, like, so that's definitely something not to use AI for. And also, I wouldn't ever suggest using it as like, you know, the entire copywriting tool that it's kind of promoted to be, in terms of adding in a prompt, copy and pasting the result and leaving it at that. That's just a recipe for a disaster. That's when you end up with really robotic sounding text that isn't really kind of aligned with, you know, your strategy, your audience, their needs, you know, and your brand voice. So definitely use it as a starting point if you're stuck, if you're kind of feeling writer's block. You know, if you need an outline for a page, you're not sure what kind of content to put on a page, it can be good for that. If you're kind of stuck for blog ideas and want to know kind of what to put in a blog, like those kind of things work. If you're looking for, you know, word options for things and need ideas, I would use it as like an ideas generator and to kind of, you know, a tool to kind of help you sift through lots of information quickly. But always,
I love using it for that. Absolutely. And just de-jargoning really tricky subject matters. It's just like, explain like I'm five. Yeah. What does this actually mean?
And that's great for writers like us, where we're working with, you know, a ton of different types of clients and sectors. Like, I remember I had to kind of, even today I was kind of I was asking ChatGPT to explain to me what APIs are, what composable development is, what headless architecture is, because I don't know, you know. And like, you can read blogs about it too, obviously, that's good. But so, you know, you can use it to kind of explain concepts and stuff, but it's not going to be, you know, the whole strategy behind what you're writing. And I don't think that it'll ever be able to do that. I think you need human brain for strategy. You need human brain for, you know, editing content and writing content that sounds natural. So definitely use it for research, use it for kind of outlining things, idea generation. But like, I think copy and pasting without refining or optimizing or really thinking about it strategically is just going to land you in a hot mess, and it's not going to convert your clients. It's not going to do what you need it to.
Your business justice either. Mm-hmm. You know, like, for anyone out there listening, you know, if you're not a writer doing this 40 hours a week like we do, yeah, it's great to get a first draft down. It's great to get rid of that blinking cursor and the blank page of death, you know. But it's, you know, you've spent so many hours of your life creating an agency, creating a personal brand, whatever it is, however you're operating. Don't hand off the first touch points to clients that you've worked so hard to get in the first place to a machine that doesn't understand the nuance of what you do, mm-hmm. and what makes you unique and what makes you the right choice for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just even if, like, say, you know, if you need the first draft done, go in, add your own story into the introduction of why you're talking about this subject, you know, your own experience of it, add that human element in, and the rest will take care of itself. You definitely need to edit. So I think we're on the same page there.
Yeah, 100%. And like, I don't judge anyone for using it. And I can see, I can see how it can really kind of help you get out of your head and maybe just give you a starting point and things like that. But I think the biggest problem is just people using it as a full replacement, but maybe not mm-hmm. realizing that that's not what it's for. You know, and that's really, I mean, obviously we're, like you said, we're writers, we do this day in, day out, so we don't need it. We don't need AI. We were fine before it, and we'll be fine, you know, if it ever burns to the ground, which maybe that's what I want. I don't know. but I think, you know, definitely don't let yourself kind of get caught up in it, and don't let it take over everything you do. I think it makes people lazy. And it makes people stop thinking. It just makes people go, oh, this machine is going to do this for me. But if they really read something that, you know, if they reread it, they'd realize it's not quality. It's not really saying what they need to say. And I definitely would encourage you to read your content out loud and read it again and, you know, maybe even show it to someone else and get a second opinion.
Yeah, that's a really good point of reading it out loud. Can you imagine sitting in front of somebody that you're trying to sell a website to? And would you use those words? Because if you wouldn't, it's time to get the old red pen out and just edit it with an inch of its life.
Yeah, 100%. And even if you're like, this sounds really fancy, it's making me sound professional, you know, also think about, but does it sound like me? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do people want to read that?
Exactly. And I think as kind of there's just more and more of this type of unedited kind of very bleh content mm-hmm. that's now published, mm-hmm. people are going to get tired of it real quick. Like mm-hmm. we've already discussed, people have the lowest attention span that we've ever had in history. Mm-hmm. And the minute that they read about, you know, unleashing the power of your home by buying a rug, they're instantly going to go, oh, no.
This unlock your home's potential.
Oh, the amount of just Facebook ads that I get.
Supercharge your space.
Supercharge your space. I don't want to supercharge my space. I want to make my home lovely and welcoming and be a reflection of me and all this kind of stuff. I don't need to supercharge my space.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, I think we're coming towards the end of this discussion, but I would like to leave it on. What do you think is changing in SEO right now that writers, web designers, agencies, anyone with a website need to know about?
Mm-hmm. So the first one, we've really touched a lot on this already, but it's worth mentioning again, is that there is so much more AI-generated content out there, and it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get more prevalent across all sorts of platforms, not just, you know, blogs and websites, but social media as well, emails. Like it's kind of taking over everything. And I think, you know, like with AI videos, I know they're getting hard to sniff out, but people still are, we're not idiots. Like, you know, people can tell when something lacks a human touch, even if it's not conscious, it might be subconscious, and it's the very thing that's going to deter them. So with that, know that that's happening, and know that, you know, the one way for you to stand out is to stay true to you and you know, give the human eye to your work and let AI be a tool and not a replacement. The other thing that's changing is that, obviously, again, it's AI is helping in this way, in that it's improving, you know, search engines' ability to figure out the intent of content and, you know, what a page is about without, you know, always needing to just look at all the keywords. I think it's getting a lot smarter at just figuring out as a whole, is this good quality? Is this, you know, really explaining things well and offering original insights? And is it accurate? Is it up to date? It's just getting a lot better at that. You know, that's what Google's teams are working on tirelessly day in, day out, is to keep improving their services and keep delivering the best possible content for their audience. So, you know, knowing that it's getting smarter, don't try to outsmart the engines, because, you know, they will just outsmart you, and they will penalize your content and your website for, you know, poorly written, whatever it is, whether it's a blog or a website. The other thing as well is that voice search is becoming a lot more common, I think, like with Alexa and Google Home and even voice search on your phone. I think ChatGPT brought out a voice search option recently as well. So it's like, just becoming a lot more part of people's day. I think even I saw an influencer who had a car, obviously sponsored, and the car, you can AI search like on Google Maps and stuff like that for things, you know, in the car and it'll be there. So like things like that, it's definitely becoming a lot more part of our day to day. So definitely, you know, again, it comes back to conversational language and using more simple kind of language and making sure that you're really answering people's questions really well. And that's really how you'll kind of boost your kind of organic search through kind of, you know, just being more natural with your language, because people are going to search using their own kind of natural conversational language. So definitely keep that in mind as well. And the other thing is that, you know, I think, again, with the rise of AI, it's that Google and other search engines are really going to prioritize, you know, content that has a lot of kind of authority to it. And the way you kind of create like authority driven content is by, you know, really having your own perspective in there, adding in original insights that other, you know, blogs or websites don't have, and making sure that you're really kind of going a lot deeper than, you know, other kind of blogs and things out there, that you're really bringing your own perspective into things. And yeah, just with AI kind of rising, just stick to the human side of things and you'll always stand out.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, I think that that's a great place to leave it. Embrace your humanity and embrace your uniqueness.
Don't let the robots win.
Fantastic. Well, thank you as always, Kira, for joining me. If this conversation sparked any insights from our wonderful listeners, we would love for you to reach out and let us know. Have a great day. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on this latest episode of the Content Goodies podcast. Thank you to our sponsors, the Content Lab. If you enjoyed this program, please leave us a review. We love to get feedback. And as always, if you need help with any copywriting or content marketing needs, reach out to me at the Content Lab. You will find our contact details at the bottom of the podcast notes. It has been a pleasure. As always, look forward to seeing you on the next episode.